I love the Christmas season, and songs like that are a big part of the reason why. Thank you, guys. Awesome job, as always. Good to see all of you today, and say welcome to those who are watching on our live stream. All of you obviously survived Thanksgiving. Some of you look a little fuller than you did last week. A lot of you are still trying to deal with all those leftovers. I just want to tell you, be strong. Be strong. And go home today after I'm done and just jump right back into that refrigerator. You can do it. I have a lot of confidence in your ability. We're starting today, our first Sunday in Advent, reading from Matthew's Gospel. If you'd like to follow along, Matthew chapter 1 would be a suspect place to read about Christmas, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, there are a lot of different places to focus during Advent season, but it is pretty unusual to focus on Joseph. And so today we're going to start there. We'll get around to the rest, pretty much all the normal things that we talk about. But I thought it would be a great starting place this year, because it's been a weird year, right? A good starting place to take our first steps into Advent, to look at this man with all of the usual worries of a man dealing with different kinds of important things in his life, but some very unusual worries as well. We find Joseph to be a man with an incredibly hard choice to make, a tough decision. He has the opportunity to either do what is best for Joseph or submit to God's work in a revolutionary way. You don't hear too many sermons on Joseph, but I think Joseph's choice can teach us a lot about the decisions that we ourselves may have to make. Someone would say that a choice between two rights, a choice between two good things, is often harder than a choice between something very good and something very bad. Would you agree? I think that's obvious. Joseph had just this kind of choice to make. He was in a bind because, as we just read, Mary, his betrothed, was pregnant. And he knew beyond any doubt that he was not the father. In order to really understand all that's going on here, you have to understand a few things about Jewish marriage customs. They approach things very, very differently than we do here in the Western culture. There were two early steps in marriage. There was, number one, a formal exchange of consent before witnesses, kind of like our wedding ceremony, where two would come together and make promises. These were legally binding promises. The second step was that sometime later, they would take the bride to the groom's family home to live for a while. Now, think about that. It might not be a bad approach today, because think of what you could learn about the in-laws, living with them for a year. Think about what you as the in-laws could learn about the other in-law, right? I mean, there's so many things that could be learned and discovered, but that's how that they would do it. These Jewish weddings were based more on commitment and obligation than they were on excitement. This stage of the wedding, this consent or betrothal stage, usually was entered into when a girl was 12 or 13 years of age. It constituted a legal marriage. This man had legal rights now over this woman, and she was not free to go out and look for other guys. He was not free either. And she would live with his parents for a year or so. Okay? Third step that came about almost usually a year later, there was a formal transfer of the bride to the husband's family home under their support. And it was understood that at this point in the process, she had to be a virgin before she moved in to live with him as husband and wife. Well, it's exactly between these two later steps that Mary is found to be with child. What was Joseph to do? What decision could Joseph possibly make that would be the right one? Well, Jewish law was not silent in dealing with these kinds of situations. There was a right thing to do, and there were even alternatives within the right thing to do. Joseph had the choice of, one, publicly leaving her as an adulteress. It would be a horribly shaming thing to her, but it would clear his name completely. He could just divorce her in a public way. Everyone would know that she'd been bad. The second option within the right things to do was that he could choose to divorce her quietly, without fanfare, just deal with it in a legal manner as quietly as possible. According to Jewish law, he could do either. Actually, according to Jewish law, he could have her dragged to her father's doorstep and they could stone her to death, although that was not very likely at this point in time, scholars say. But the public shame that Mary would experience would be probably worse than being stoned to death, because the humiliation would be lifelong. Very different time, very different circumstances from the way, the loose way that we in America approach marriage. Verse 19 gives us a little hint about Joseph. It says he was righteous. Some versions say he was just. And we see that played out in the fact that Joseph decided, just knowing these early facts in the decision, he decided to divorce her quietly. He was going to do it the way that would cause the least damage to her. He would have fulfilled his legal right by charging Mary openly with adultery. He could have protected his name beyond all doubt and all reproach that way. But he chose to be kind. He chose to do the right thing. And that is the point at which Joseph heard from the father of the baby. The angel came and let Joseph in on the rest of the story. We don't know much about Joseph. I wish we knew more. He is named only a few times in Scripture, almost exclusively around the birth and the childhood of Jesus Christ, and then he just kind of disappears, vanishes out of the pages. There is not one word of Joseph recorded in Scripture. We do know that he was by trade a carpenter. He likely followed in the footsteps of his father in his early adult years. I have a picture in my office that I like a lot of Jesus the carpenter. He's working on a project at a workbench. I just like the picture of Jesus using his hands to create. In John, Jesus is referred to simply as the son of Joseph, which implies that Joseph was a well-known, capable, and skilled craftsman. Everybody knew Joseph. We know also, among the few facts, that Joseph was a resident of the Galilean town of Bethlehem, though he had moved to Nazareth, possibly because of the tyranny and the harsh political times within that climate. Scriptures don't even tell us a lot to indicate his character, so we have to kind of extrapolate. A lot of fathers are renegades. That's just one of the human shortcomings of human males. But that's not the case here. We see Joseph with Mary at the manger. We see Joseph with Mary at the circumcision. He is with them at the temple when he is presented. Both he and Mary together must have marveled at the words of Simeon the priest. You can see the anxiety that Joseph felt when little Jesus as a boy was lost years later. Scripture doesn't say much. It simply calls him righteous or just or good. Whatever you want to call him, God looked at this man and saw in him something special. He saw the right stuff. This carpenter who was strong, yet gentle, wise and patient and caring, proud of his work, I assume, talented, a man who was devoted and devout. You know, Joseph must have felt all of the same concerns as would any father for his unborn child. And he had to wonder what he would grow up to become. So he's an uncommon man. Another thing that might point to that is the fact that he is the kind of man that angels appear to in dreams, advising him, warning him specifically. How many angels have you seen? Would you tell anybody if you did? Joseph listened to the angels. And maybe that's even more uncommon, the fact that Joseph listened and he paid attention to what God wanted him to do. And Joseph, in this saying yes, shows revolutionary submission. Let's come back to his decision for just a second before we move on. In spite of his character, his righteousness and goodness, as the story begins, he is afraid to take a pregnant Mary home to live with mom and dad. God was asking him all of a sudden to make a revolutionary, life-changing decision when all of the data was not in yet. Our hindsight is always so clear, isn't it? When we make difficult decisions, when we look back, we're able to see all of the pieces line up, and we can say, yes, obviously, that was the decision that we needed to make. But in this story, it's at the front end. It's not at the back end. Joseph knew what the legal thing to do was. Joseph knew what the right thing to do was. But God was asking for more. God was asking him to take responsibility for a pregnant teenager with only the voice of an angel for credentials. That is pretty revolutionary submission in my book. He is being called to make a faith response to a very difficult situation. You understand decisions like that. All of us have to make them from time to time. Sometimes we are forced to make decisions more on faith than we have facts or evidence to back them up. Sometimes these revolutionary decisions come to us. They are life-changing decisions, and the way that we make them will often chart our course. They're not all clear-cut. They're not all easy to count the cost in advance. Decisions like marriage, decisions like having kids, decisions like picking a job or staying with a job, decisions about the people that we spend life with, our relationship, decisions about investments when we have to buy big and expensive things like houses and cars. The most important decision of all that we're called upon to make is whether or not we will serve Jesus Christ. These are huge, life-changing decisions. Joseph was forced with the same kind, faced with the kind that forced him to really look deep inside. And in his decision shows us what he really believed. I think that as Joseph submits to God's revolutionary plans, we can learn a lot from him about decisions. And there are four things I'm going to finish with today, four things that I really like about Joseph. Number one, I love the fact that Joseph took the path of mercy. Joseph could have done what was just and right and legal, or he could do the merciful and kind thing. Joseph knew that God was a God of mercy. A lot of people read the Old Testament and they think the Old Testament is all blood and guts and God's anger. And yeah, you see some of those things there. But you should read the Old Testament and you should read it carefully because grace is there on almost every page as well. God's goodness and mercy, part of his name. Joseph knew that to be true about God. The Old Testament theme, in fact, is that even though God's wrath is being rained down on sinful humanity and God punishes consequences of wrong decisions, God's constant forgiveness is there. God's mercy is there. That would be Joseph's choice, and it would also be Jesus' attitude when he grew up. You see, Joseph was not only concerned about doing the right thing, he was even concerned about doing it the right way. When our decisions get thorny, when they get hard and loaded like some of these decisions, especially when the decisions you have to make involve people, let me encourage you to take the path of mercy. Decide to forgive, even though you may not have to. Decide to let an offense go. Decide to give someone the benefit of the doubt because you may not know the whole story. Decide to put yourself in their shoes and see the situation through their eyes if you can. And maybe mostly I would say deal with them as God has dealt with you, with mercy. Second thing I like about Joseph, not only did he decide with mercy, he decided in keeping with what he knew to be true about God. He understood, as we've just mentioned, God's merciful nature. God had never lied to him before. God had been faithful to him, and Joseph had been faithful to God. Joseph decided to take the angel's word. He decided to trust in the message and the messenger. And I would tell you that when you are making decisions, if you make those decisions in keeping with what you know to be true about God, God will never lead you in a path that is contrary to His will. God will never lead you in the wrong direction. And you know what? You can know what Joseph knew. In fact, you can probably know a lot more because you have this entire word at your disposal. You have the complete revealed truth and wisdom of God at your fingertips. You can know what God is like. You can know how God would choose. When you have big decisions to make, put it to the test. If your decision ultimately leads to something that is good and truthful and right and just and noble, God is very likely with you in it. But if the decision you're trying to make points you toward dishonesty, it is not from God. If it points you toward something that would hurt your family, it is not from God. If it points you in a direction where your reputation could be destroyed or damaged, your witness for Christ injured, it is not from God. No matter how you may argue, no matter how right it may seem or feel, you must test every decision in keeping with what you know to be true about God. That's what Joseph did. Third thing I like about Joseph, Joseph wasn't just thinking about himself. He thought about how his decision would affect others. To kick Mary out, that would have cleared his name, but it would have ruined hers. To marry her anyway, imagine this. I think often we can't even comprehend because our culture is so loosey-goosey on marriage. To marry her anyway, his friends would, in many cases, scorn him. And if he tried to reason with them, I mean, try this the next time somebody questions what you have chosen to do and tell them an angel told you. See how that works for you, right? Sure, Joseph, that's what everybody says. You can't imagine the whispers that would occur behind their backs everywhere that they went. It took some real fortitude, especially in that culture, to make the decision that he did. It could even have damaged his business irreparably because people would have been reluctant to do business with someone involved in the midst of a scandal. But God said to. So Joseph said yes. He weighed the consequences. He exhibited revolutionary submission, even when the good of the many perhaps outweighed the good of the one. But isn't that exactly what Jesus would do years later? See, every decision that you make affects not only you. It affects many, many other people. Someone once wrote, I think John Donne said, "No man is an island." When you make decisions, it is very selfish to think only of the consequences for you. Think how your decision will ripple out in every direction. Think of how your decisions will affect your family and your friends and your work and your church. Think about how your decisions today will have lasting impact tomorrow and even likely for generations to come. Because God gives us a choice pretty much every day, and that choice is sometimes conflict between building a legacy that we can be proud of, a legacy that honors God and that our children can be proud of, and building a legacy that is failed, a legacy with a damning postscript that always tags along behind it. Don't let peer pressure or public opinion force you into any stance other than what you know is godly and right. Amen. Finally, number four, I like that Joseph was willing to be used by God in a revolutionary way, even though he didn't fully understand how or why. You're like me, you can read this word of God and you can pretty easily figure out what God asked each of us to do. It's not that complicated if you're willing to read and look for it and ask God to show you. And a lot of the time, the things that God asks us to do, it may be really hard at the front because we don't completely understand how or even why sometimes we can pull that off. Yet God shows up and He says, "I need you, Joseph. I need you. I have a very special task for you. I'm going to change the world, but first I'm going to change your life." Think of an awesome responsibility that fell into Joseph's hands when he said yes. He becomes the stepfather of God's son, the human father who would shape the life and thinking of God's son, the father that little toddler Jesus would run to, the boy who would work in the carpentry shop with him and watch and learn, the young adult growing up who would remember all of the things that he had learned from just being with his earthly Abba. Was Joseph qualified? No. Was he willing? Yes. In the decisions that you have to make, be willing to be used by God. Sometimes God will ask you to do things that don't make a lot of sense. Sometimes He will ask you to do things that go completely against your want to and your best human calculation. But if you will submit to the revolution that God wants to accomplish, you'll look back and you'll be glad that you did. Whether your choices cause you consternation, whatever your choices ultimately end in, let God be glorified. Be open to the almost imperceptible way that God can and will use you in this life, in this world, because you are His hands and you are His feet. So let's learn to make decisions the way that Joseph did. Let's always choose the path of mercy. Let's make them in keeping with what we know to be true about God. Let's make decisions with an understanding that they have deep impact and great effects on others. And let's make decisions that show our lives submitted to the work of God. You know, a lot of us have manger scenes in our homes. My wife especially loves manger scenes. We probably have 6 or 8 of them. Maybe go home today. Maybe if you haven't gotten it out of the box yet, go home and get it out of the box. It is time to decorate. But when you set it up, maybe move Joseph just a little bit closer to the front. Let's hear it for Joseph. He was a big man who made big choices. He was a man who listened to God. He was a man when God asked really tough question, a man who said yes. Thank you, Father, for giving us the picture of this carpenter. I'm so grateful that you chose a man like Joseph. You didn't choose a nobleman. You didn't choose a king. You didn't choose a high government official. You didn't choose a rich family. You didn't choose a man of high education. You chose very intentionally a simple carpenter because you knew his heart. And Father, I'm thankful that when Jesus was growing up on this planet, he had a man like Joseph to look up to. Father, I pray that we would learn in our own decision making. We would learn to be as willing to say yes to you. Lord, maybe as this Advent season begins this year, as we participate in the repentance and the introspection that Advent calls for, maybe we'll find more opportunities, Lord, to say yes. We thank you for Jesus, for the revolution of his coming at Christmas. We thank you for the revolution that he works in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, church. We're so glad you tuned in today. If you need prayer, or if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, you can message us on Facebook or visit our contact page on our website, waccconline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, we have the next steps available for you on our website as well. And remember, we are real people experiencing real grace. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.